With Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe, a subscription is not necessary. Just sign up and it'll come to your box, email box, and you can read the European concerns, which are heavy. And right now we turn to something the European Union is said to be very good at, which is trade. And yet, Judy, what is Mercosur? You tell me it's on hold. What's happened?
Mercosur consists of a group of four Latin American countries, Uruguay, Paraguay, Argentina, and Brazil. They're huge trading countries, especially for agriculture, but especially for special rare earth materials. And as far as I remember, when I was based in Brussels back in 2001, 2002, yes, there was optimism. The EU will clinch a trade deal with Mercosur. What would this trade deal mean? Preferential tariff accords, access of the European Union to the markets in these countries, and access by these countries to the markets in the EU. EU is pretty good at trade, but actually, after big hopes invested over the past couple of years and months particularly, the talks broke down. They are on hold, and they are on hold for political reasons and for reasons that concern lobbies, and for reasons that perhaps the European Union overshot itself.
I'm keen on President Macron. You write, French President Emmanuel Macron opposed the current Mercosur deal, claiming the region would be exporting goods to the EU with a disgusting carbon footprint. That completely surprised me. I was unaware that Mr. Macron was a climate alarmist or an climate change advocate in some fashion. This does also suggest that it was a matter of convenience because of COP28. Has he voiced this sort of concern before?
Oh, I think this use of the climate footprint is actually about an agricultural rubber boot or Wellington, because actually what French farmers really hate, and what and Emmanuel Macron has to think of his constituency, the huge subsidize what's called the Common Agricultural Fund, funded by the EU taxpayer, that pours billions into farmers in France. And when the farmers realize that beef and lamb imports from Latin America, and by the way, don't forget Australia, will come into their markets and they will be threatened. And so actually, in some ways, the climate issue or excuse is a cover-up for the real issue, is protecting French farmers.
What was striking to me about the remark is I routinely call the south of France Occitane. In the midst of the beautiful countryside, all the farmers exist with their diesel engines, with their tractors and other farm implements. To my knowledge, no one's practicing concerns about carbon footprint whatsoever. I do know, however, that that region of France is said to be a stronghold of Marie Le Pen, a vital opposition to President Macron. So does that suggest what he's trying to do is maintain some kind of dialogue with the people who are against him?
Of course he has to. And it's interesting you mentioned the diesel cars, because when a couple of years ago, in his first term as presidency, Macron increased by a couple of cents a litre, you could call it a gallon, in the United States for diesel, there was a uproar, absolute uproar, and led to riots and demonstrations and everything, which threatened his presidency. Why? Because these are villages and towns that actually rely on their cars, small cars, by the way, not big fancy cars like Germany. And so Macron has to be incredibly sensitive to the needs of this constituency. If Marie Le Pen, since she intends to run for president in 2 years, she could actually play the climate card if she did it intelligently, but it's not on her agenda at the moment. So what Macron is doing is appealing to his constituency, which is the farmers, the smaller people, and people who actually would be affected by imports, whether it was Australian cheese or Latin American lamb or beef. But at the end of the day, France, as much as the other European Union countries, know that they need access to these special strategic minerals to actually pursue their so-called green agenda, their green revolution. They are essential for electric cars and all sorts of other components, and Latin America has big deposits. And so, first time ever, perhaps Latin America does have leverage, just like Australia. Those trade talks collapsed as well.
You have a quote in your article for Strategic Europe that it requires me to understand. Maybe trade as trade should be the focus and leave other issues such as labor rights for later on. What is the concern about labor rights? Is that something that came to the table initially or is that new?
It's been developing over the past couple of years. So has environmental issues, climate issues. And in the old days, for want of a better term, trade used to be about trade, tariffs. And now, given the complexity of globalization and the role of NGOs, the role of how the treatment of workers in non-EU countries, this is now becoming part and parcel of trade accords. And so on very well, having this whole plethora of new things, health, environment, labor rights, judicial proceedings, and so on. It's all very well having this package put into the trade accords, but what happens is that the idea of trade, it becomes much more complex. The idea of a trade accord becomes much more longer to negotiate. And above all, if you're going to bring in the whole issue of labor rights and transparency and so on, you need an infrastructure in these countries with whom the EU is negotiating, and the infrastructure isn't yet in place. And so there's a feeling now by these countries, even Australia and the Latin American countries, that the EU is imposing more and more conditions before they can have a so-called trade accord. And the trade accord has mutated into an awful lot of social issues, human rights issues, and political issues.
You tell me that on hold is the best metaphor for the Mercosur talks. What will start them again? Is there one thing or many, many possibilities? We have less than a minute.
We don't know. We'll see how the new Argentinian president moves along with this. And maybe the EU will actually tone down some of its demands and realize that they've got to get some of the back to the basics of trade. But both sides must realize they do need each other, but they need a dialogue and not one based on arrogance or imposing norms, which are EU-based. First of all,
Judy Dempsey, the editor-in-chief of Strategic Europe. She's in Berlin. We're talking about matters that will very much involve the United States of America, not the least Mr. Zelensky talking to Viktor Orban at the inauguration of Javier Milei, who is part of the Mercosur conversation once upon a time. This is John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.